Let's read together Deuteronomy chapter 11. In this chapter, we have continued exhortations to the children of Israel to love and obey the Lord in view of what he had already done for them in bringing them up out of the land of Egypt, and in view of what he would do for them in bringing them into the land of promise. Let's begin by reading the first seven verses of Deuteronomy chapter 11. Therefore, you shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments always. Know today that I do not speak with your children who have not known and who have not seen the chastening of the Lord your God, his greatness and his mighty hand and his outstretched arm, his signs and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to all his land, what he did to the army of Egypt, to their horses and their chariots, how he made the waters of the Red Sea overflow them as they pursued you, and how the Lord has destroyed them to this day, what he did for you in the wilderness until you came to this place, and what he did to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the son of Reuben, how the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, their households, their tents, and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. But your eyes have seen every great act of the Lord which he did. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 11, with some background notes. We see in verse 2 that the specific audience that Moses has in mind in this section of his address is the generation that was under 20 years old at the time of the Exodus and before the beginning of the years of wandering. Remember, those who had been 20 years and older at that time and had shown unbelief at Kadesh Barnea, of course, they had died by the time of this chapter. And the sons of verse 2, whom Moses is not speaking to directly, are the brand new generation that was born during the wilderness wanderings and is not specifically addressed here. But this middle generation that Moses is speaking to directly in this chapter had seen the miracles in Egypt, and they had seen what God did to Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea, verse 4. And they had seen God's discipline of Dathan and Abiram, verse 6, at the time of Korah's rebellion. That's when God caused an earthquake to swallow up those in the rebellion. Read Numbers chapter 16 in this connection. Therefore, verse 8, note the therefore in verse 8, in view of all that they had seen, along with the stipulations of the covenant, they should love the Lord and obey the Lord. We saw these requirements of commitment stated clearly in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul? Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. If Israel would follow these straightforward requirements of the covenant, they would be strong and live long in the land flowing with milk and honey that God was giving them. Look again at verses 8 and 9 of our chapter. This good land was not like Egypt, which was flat and only productive if the waters of the Nile were channeled mechanically to irrigate the land, verse 10, which is still true today, by the way. No, this good land of promise had hills and valleys and was watered with the rains of heaven, verse 11, and a land that the Lord took care of in a special way, verse 12. Question, is verse 12 still true today? Answer, yes. Israel is a land which the Lord cares for in a special way. Verse 12 once again, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it, from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. Now, before we go to our doctrinal or teaching points for this chapter, let's read verses 26 to the end of the chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 11, beginning now with verse 26. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today to go after other gods which you have not known. Now it shall be, when the Lord your God has brought you into the land which you go to possess, that you shall put the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. And you shall be careful to observe all the statutes and judgments which I set before you today. The point of these verses is that when the children of Israel would cross over the Jordan River and come into the land, they would ratify the covenant by literally going to the center of the land where Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim were located. There the covenant would be ratified by half of Israel standing on the slopes of Mount Gerizim to represent the blessings of the law, and half of Israel standing on the slopes of Mount Ebal to represent the curses of the law. And the Levites standing with Moses in the middle between the tribes for the reading of the stipulations of the covenant. These directions are given again in Deuteronomy chapter 27 and carried out in Joshua chapter 8. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for Deuteronomy chapter 11. Doctrine point number one, believers should know that the consequences of obedience is blessing. Believers should know that the consequence of obedience is blessing. Verses 13 through 15. Deuteronomy chapter 11, beginning now with verse 13. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. And I will send grass in your fields for your livestock, that you may eat and be filled. And verses 22 through 25. For if you carefully keep all these commandments, which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations from before you, and you will dispossess greater and mightier nations than yourselves. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even to the western sea, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will put the dread of you and the fear of you upon all the land where you tread, just as he has said to you. We see in these verses that if Israel would obey the Lord, then they would be blessed. The Lord would literally send rain on the land, and their harvest would be bountiful, and their flocks and herds would be abundant. Furthermore, God would take care of all their enemies. No one would be able to defeat God's people. All they had to do was go in and possess the land which had already been given to them under the Abrahamic covenant. The land all the way from Egypt to Lebanon and from the Mediterranean Sea to the Euphrates River. Now, this doctrinal point is certainly for all believers, not just for Israel. The consequence of obedience is blessing. Now, Christians are not promised the blessing of productive crops and large flocks and herds, but we are promised every spiritual blessing that heaven has to offer. Read Ephesians chapter 1 in this connection. Some Christians have the idea that the more obedient you are as a Christian, the more the Lord will test your faith and the more the Lord will require of you. Listen, even if this happens, your life will be more blessed and more joyful. This is a biblical truth. Believers should know that the consequence of obedience is blessing. Doctrinal point number two. Believers should know that the consequence of disobedience is discipline. Believers should know that the consequence of disobedience is discipline. Verses 16 and 17. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heavens so that there be no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you. Verses 16 and 17. If Israel obeyed the Lord, there would be blessing. But if Israel turned away from the Lord and disobeyed the Lord, then there would be discipline. God would withhold the rains. The land would be unproductive. And the people would perish from the good land of promise. This, of course, all took place because the children of Israel did turn away from the Lord. And they did disobey the Lord. God had to discipline his people with captivity and scattering among the nations. The same biblical principle is in operation today. God must discipline his disobedient children. And believers need to be aware of this. What kind of Heavenly Father would He be if He did not discipline us when we disobey? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. Believers should know that the consequence of disobedience is discipline. Now for practical application from Deuteronomy chapter 11. Practical application number one. Don't make literal what should be taken figuratively. Don't make literal what should be taken figuratively. Verses 18 through 21. Deuteronomy chapter 11, beginning now with verse 18. Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. Verses 18 through 21. To this day, Orthodox Jews still use phylacteries, which are small, hard leather boxes containing scriptures. These phylacteries are bound to their foreheads and forearms with leather straps in order to literally obey this scripture. They also put small containers of scripture called mezuzahs on their door frames in literal interpretation of this scripture. Meanwhile, their hearts are far from the Lord and far from their Messiah. The problem is that they are literally interpreting a scripture which God meant to be taken in a figurative way. The idea was to keep the Word of God ever before you, 24/7, and obey it, and teach your children to obey it. Today, an example of taking literal what should be taken figuratively would be to interpret the bread and the wine of the Lord's Supper as the literal body and blood of the Lord. Don't make literal what should be taken figuratively. Practical application number two. Don't make figurative what should be taken literally. Don't make figurative what should be taken literally. Verse 14. Then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. Now, how should this verse be interpreted? The Lord meant that He would literally send an early rain and then a later rain on the land of Israel every year if the children of Israel would follow Him. Now, to spiritualize this latter rain to the second blessing of the Holy Spirit would be bad hermeneutics. Now, yes, there are Old Testament types, which are pictures or illustrations of New Testament truth. But Old Testament types are pictures or illustrations of doctrine that are clearly taught in the New Testament. The idea of a personal baptism of the Holy Spirit coming sometime after personal salvation is not taught in the New Testament. The latter rain of Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 14, is the promise of literal rain on the literal land of Israel, not a promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit as a second blessing for the Christian. Don't make figurative what should be taken literally.